Hey, we're in this series we're calling Christmas Unfiltered, and we've been talking about how we post photos, we take pictures, and then we tweak them, we enhance them, we add special effects to them, post them on social media, kind of creating this idea of that what we're posting on there isn't quite 100% real. It's kind of an enhanced version of reality, and sometimes the way in which we approach Christmas, we have kind of some unrealistic expectations. We kind of look at it through kind of this Hallmark Christmas movie thing, or through a Christmas carol, which tells us it's the most wonderful time of the year, it's the happiest season of all. And so sometimes we approach the holidays through these filters. So we've been looking at these truths about who Jesus is from this prophecy, from the book of Isaiah, that came about 700 years before Jesus's birth. And as we look at these truths about who Jesus would be and who Jesus is, it gives us this freedom to approach Christmas from a true place without a bunch of expectations that we would be in a place that maybe we're not, but the truth that Christmas is Christmas, and the best moments of life, the best seasons of life, and also in the difficult ones, and maybe Christmas is even more powerful, the message of Christmas, even more powerful in a tougher moment of life. So if you have your Bibles, go over to Isaiah chapter 9. Woo! So good. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." And that was week one. We looked at that word of Jesus being Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God last week, and today, Everlasting Father. And so what does it mean for Jesus to be our Everlasting Father? In fact, this name of Jesus here in this prophecy has been something that's caused confusion for some. And as Christians, what Christians have believed for nearly 2,000 years is this idea that God is Trinity, that he has eternally existed as one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that from eternity past into eternity future, God has existed, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But listen, that's a mystery, and that's confusing, and I don't know about you, but I would never want to worship a God that I could understand 100%, right? I can't understand Claire, I'm not going to understand God, right? And so so this idea, but some people have seen this verse and have begun to believe a heresy that was condemned in the third century of the church called modalism. And so the modalism teaches that God has different modes or manifestations. And so that in the Old Testament, God was God the Father. In the New Testament, he was Jesus, God the Son, and now he exists as the Holy Spirit. And so this is something that is seen as a false teaching. But there's still some sects and some sects. S-E-C-T-S, you people with the dirty mind. And there are still some sects and groups that hold to that false teaching. But the belief of the church for 2,000 years nearly has this idea, one God, eternally existent, in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we know that when it says that Jesus will be the Everlasting Father, it's not speaking of the fact, it's not speaking in the sense of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What it is, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What Jesus is saying is, I am the clearest representation of what the Father is like. We know what the Father is like through looking at the character of Jesus, and so. Jesus is not God the Father in that sense, but he reveals him to us perfectly. And so in that sense, he paints this picture of the Father that we've always longed for. One way we know that this idea of Jesus, of this modalistic heresy, that God the Father in the Old Testament and then Jesus in the New and the Holy Spirit currently, one way we know that's not true is in Luke chapter 3, where we see Jesus getting baptized. And in that moment, Jesus, God the Son, is in the water getting baptized, and we hear the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then we see the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus like a dove. And so we there, in that moment, we see all three members of the Trinity in the same place at the same time. So we know this idea of modalism is untrue. But so what does it mean for us? This idea that Jesus is the Everlasting Father. I want to share with you three things that matter to us today. Here's the first thing. In a world of change, uncertainty, and instability, Jesus is unchanging, certain, and stable. In a world of change, uncertainty, and instability, Jesus is unchanging, certain, and stable. We live in a time where the rate of change in the world is unlike any other time in history, where things are just changing rapidly. And if you've lived any amount of time, if you're even 30 years old, you've seen life, the world change so very, very much. Most of us, all of us, grew up with like landlines. Be honest here. How many of you have a landline at home? Raise your hand. All right, like seven people. How many of you under 35 have a landline? Zero humans. And so it's like most people don't have a landline. There's this young lady in the first service who raised her hand. And then my next question is, how many of you have used a phone book in the last 90 days? Raise your hand. So this young lady in the first service raised her hand both times. And I was like, you are not old enough to be using a landline and a phone book. And she said, I live in Virginia City. And so, which is a time warp, right? And so, but the world has changed rapidly. Pay phones are gone. Video stores are gone. Phone books are gone. Nobody called. Remember when you used to, if you didn't have a phone book, you'd call 411 to get information. Yesterday, I was like, is that even still a thing? So I dialed 411. Sure enough, it's still a thing in case you don't have the internet and your life is sad that way. And so social media has accelerated the pace of change. Trends catch on instantly now. Fashion and design change rapidly. You see, Netflix killed video stores. The Uber killed the taxi. My father-in-law was here the other day, and they were staying at a hotel close to the airport. Their flight left like at 5 in the morning. They said, we're just going to call a taxi. And Claire said to her father-in-law, her dad, she said, Dad, have you ever used Uber? And he didn't know what it was, but he's like 80 years old, right? And so, but we see Uber killed the taxi. The world's changing rapidly. And then there's questions of what's going to happen next. Things can feel so unstable. Who's going to win the next election? How's that going to affect the economy? All of these questions lead to this feeling of everything's changing. I feel unstable. Maybe you begin to ask yourself, even in your relationships, you wonder, who can I really rely on? Who can I really depend on? And the truth is this, at the end of the day, even the best people can't be 100% relied on. Some people will walk out of our lives. Even the best people will disappoint us sometimes. And no one is going to live forever. And so in this world of just constant change and instability, we wonder, who can I trust? What can I depend on? Is anything still the same? Sometimes at the holidays, we get super nostalgic about maybe the happiest time in your life, or maybe a time when life seemed simpler, and maybe the way the world is changing or how your life feels now, or just this season of life, or the world has changed, your life has changed, the season of life is different, and maybe all of that just feels a little bit overwhelming. But the truth is, because Jesus is our everlasting Father, we could trust in him. Let me read you Hebrews 13, verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so the world might change and politics might change. Your family dynamic might change, but Jesus isn't going to change. James chapter 1, verse 17 says it this way. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. That in God, we have one who is never changing. We have one that we can depend on, one who we can rely on, one who will never walk out, one who will never break a promise, one who will never leave us, and one who will never die. He can be counted on. The government's going to disappoint you. No matter which party's in power, they're going to disappoint you. People will disappoint you. I will definitely disappoint you, maybe in the next 15 minutes. But Jesus will never disappoint. He's never going to change. He's never going to walk out. Here's your next point. In a world of loneliness, Jesus came to give us a perfect forever family. In a world of loneliness, Jesus came to give us a perfect forever family. I was chatting with someone this morning, and he was sharing with me that this is a hard season for him. And he was sharing with me that because of some things in his childhood, he's just kind of always longed for a sense of a real family, a healthy family. And this time of year, that kind of comes out where we have this desire for a really great family and that sense of the perfect ideal family. And we also, but at the same time, it's a time of so much loneliness. And where people can feel isolated, and they have this expectation of all these close relationships, and they think that everyone else has all these perfect relationships and that they're the only one that feels on the outside or lacking in some of that. But what statistics tell us is that loneliness is rising rapidly. And in fact, what we're told is that rates of people reporting feelings of meaningful loneliness have risen about 50% over the last 40 years. So in a time where over the last 40 years, we've become more connected than ever. We've all got phones or we can call people all the time. We've got social media where we can know what's going on in people's lives all of the time. There's this sense where we're more connected than ever, but people are reporting higher rates of feelings of loneliness at a 50% increase over the last 40 years. In fact, in the UK, this in the last year or so, they've appointed a government-level cabinet minister called the Minister of Loneliness to deal, because so many people over there are saying, I feel isolated, I feel alone, and his whole job is to create avenues where people can connect and form meaningful relationships. In fact, I saw a video this week of a guy in the UK. Check out this video.
I have no friends. It's a scary thing to admit that, you know, especially here on LinkedIn, but it's true.
Nobody's like you. You are not normal at all. No.
I know a lot of people, but it's mostly through networking and work and everything to do with work. I'm really lucky because I've got some amazing work colleagues, and you know, naturally we share our lives with each other, so we share what's going on. But you know, I don't take them out for dinner, and I don't go on long country walks with them. I don't do stuff with them that friends do. It's not just me as well who's got no friends. There are a staggering number of people, and mostly men, across the UK who've got very few, if any, people, friends that they can actually talk about any sort of serious stuff with. And it's a tough one, isn't it? Because, you know, you don't want to be the sad, lonely git that admits to having no friends, but I haven't. So charities are urging men to make more time for socialising and starting hobbies.
So this is an article in the Times. All the lonely people are men. A fifth have no friends. Almost one in five men admits to having no close friends.
But how do you make friends?
So this loneliness thing, it's real. And sometimes we can feel surrounded by people and still feel lonely. And maybe it feels like no one cares or no one really understands you. Maybe it's because of busyness or maybe the rise of technology or the decline of the nuclear family. But for whatever reason, this loneliness thing is a bigger thing now than it's been in the past. And I think a lot of times these feelings are exacerbated in the holiday season. But the truth is this, Jesus came to give us a perfect forever family. Let me read you Psalm 68, verse 6. It says, as God settles the solitary in a home, King James says it, he says, God puts the lonely in families. And the way that Jesus coming leads to us having this perfect forever family, it's through God adopting us as his children. Ephesians 1, 5 says it this way. It says, long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. What that verse is saying is that from the beginning of time, God's plan was to adopt us into his family through the work of Jesus Christ. And so maybe you're in a moment of feeling some loneliness, or maybe you're in a moment where your family isn't as close as it once was. I was talking to a gentleman earlier, and he said, you know, ever since my mom passed away, our family just doesn't feel as close. And I think that happens so often. Families have different seasons and challenges like that. And maybe you're feeling some of that, but the truth is that Jesus came as and revealing the everlasting Father to us that we might be adopted into God's family. And I love this idea of a forever family. If you spent many time with people that are involved in the foster care system or adoption. Many times kids in the foster care system will go from, you know, stay at maybe 2, 3, 4 or more homes before they're ever adopted. And then once they get adopted, many times adoptive parents will talk about, hey, this is your forever family. It's not that you're going to pack up again in a few months and go somewhere else. It's not that we're not your real family. We're just your temporary family. This is now your forever family. And I think it's this picture of what God does in adopting us as to be a part of his forever family, that when an adoptive parent says that, they're saying, even though we're not biologically related, this relationship isn't a temporary one. This is now your new forever home. But the reality is this, that in this life, our families, our nuclear biological or adopted families, it's not a forever and ever thing. It's this life, you know. But the wonder of what God does through the work of Jesus in adopting us, he adopts us into this forever family, which is the church. And one day it is going to be a perfect forever family. Right now, it is a perfecting forever family. Right now, the church is not yet perfect, right? This family isn't yet perfect. Now, there's a whole lot more good than bad. And it's getting better more all the time as we're following Jesus. There's this word that means sanctification. It's just this journey where all of us, as we ought to be becoming more and more like Jesus in this life. But then when we are with him, we will then be like him. And so we have this forever family that God's placed us in, his church. He's adopted us into it. It's not yet perfect, but it is being perfected. It's becoming more and more perfect all the time as we all become more and more like Jesus, but then when we're with him, we'll be like him, and this perfect forever family will last forever and ever. If you've been at Life Church very long, you know I love to look at Acts chapter 2, this picture of this very first church. I just want to show you this family thing that was going on here in this very first church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. We see these early Christians, man, they're learning and they're taking communion and focusing on the gospel, and they're praying, and there's miracles being done. And then we see here verse 46, and all who believed were together. Why? Because they were family. They knew that Jesus had made them family. They'd been adopted. They had all things together, and they had all things in common. They were sharing all their stuff. Why? Because that's what family does. Family shares stuff. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Why? Because they were family. And they were getting together every day, sometimes in large groups in the temple, sometimes in small groups in their house, and they were breaking bread in their homes. And they were getting together all the time and eating food and hanging out. Why? Because God had made them family. And so in a world where there's increasing loneliness, God has a solution that through the work of Jesus, that we might be a part of God's forever perfect family. Here's your third point. In a world of imperfect fathers, Jesus reveals our perfect father's heart towards us. Maybe you had a dad who was physically absent. Maybe you never knew your dad. Or maybe you had a dad who was physically present, but emotionally distant. You say, man, he was around, but I felt like I never really knew him, never really talked about anything that mattered. He was just kind of hard to know. Or maybe you had a dad who was hard to please, who seemed to always catch you doing the wrong thing and never catch you doing the right thing. And you wondered, is he ever even going to be proud of me? Is he ever going to see me doing the right thing? And you just wanted to feel, even maybe as an adult, you just wanted to feel like your dad was proud of you. Or maybe you had a dad who was unstable. Some days he was awesome, and some days he was terrible. And some days he was fun to be with, and some days he was almost abusive or even fully abusive. And maybe alcohol or drugs just caused all this instability, where it was just Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and you just never knew which dad was going to show up, and could you rely on him? Could you trust him? Or maybe you had a really, really good dad. Maybe your dad was awesome. Maybe he was that ideal father that everyone kind of wishes they had. But here's the truth. None of us had a perfect father. None of us did. In fact, I've heard it said, everyone drops their kids on their head. It's just a matter of how hard. None of us have had a perfect father. None of us that are dads are perfect at it. Here's how Jesus said it, Matthew 7. Jesus said, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? They say, hey, he says, even the worst dads, every dad was going to give their kid food if they've got some food to give him. He's what he's saying. He says, if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Well, Jesus said, hey, all of us find ourselves fallen and sinful. None of us find ourselves perfect. He says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, the idea of a perfect Father who's not going to let us down, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? None of us had a perfect father, but what Jesus does is he reveals the heart of our perfect heavenly Father towards us. He reveals the Father who came close and is noble. That's one of the coolest things about Christmas. So many people around the world believe in a God or a force or a spirit who is kind of out there and unknowable, a higher power. What we see at Christmas is that God came close, that Emmanuel, one of the names of Jesus, which means God with us, and that Jesus reveals the Father who came close and noble. Maybe your dad was hard to know, but Jesus reveals the Father who is knowable and came close. Jesus reveals the Father who would never walk away. But in fact, he reveals the Father who pursues us even when we walk away. I love the story in Luke 15 of the story of the prodigal son. We have this son who asks his dad for his inheritance early. He goes off and he does crazy stuff, blows all the money, finds himself homeless, living in a pig pen, and he kind of begins to come to his senses. And he realizes, even my father's servants are living better than me. Maybe if I go back, ask my dad to forgive me, maybe I can just be one of his servants. And then he says he began to make the long journey home. And I love what it says. It says that the father saw him a long way off. I imagine, and this father is the whole idea of the story is he represents God to us, and this idea that this father probably a few hours every day would just look off in the distance to see, is my son coming back yet? And after, when that day came and he sees his son in the distance, it says that the father ran to him. Now, in this culture, it was very few grown men who have children, you know, look awesome when they run, right? Whenever I run, my kids laugh at me, you know, and one of my kids was running the other day, and I was like, you run like me, Ed. And so good family shame. It brings the family close. And so but in this culture, if you were a man of any means and any wealth, to run would be a kind of a shameful thing. You're kind of wearing a robe, and so now you're pulling up your robe, and it's all, and so, but it says, and then the father ran to the son. And he embraced him, and he kissed him, and he gave him the family robe and the family ring, and he threw this giant, giant party. What we see is God's not the father who would walk out on you. Maybe your natural father did, but he's actually the father who pursues us even when we walk out on him. He's the father that sees us as precious. He's the father who's given us every good gift. He's the father who's trustworthy, who's not going to let us down. Jesus reveals the heart of our perfect father to us, because even if you had a great, great dad, none of us had a perfect one. But we do. We have this perfect heavenly father that Jesus reveals him to us. And so I don't know what you're going through this holiday season. In a room this size, my guess is that some of you feel like life is changing. And there's nothing in the world that's stable, and it's just so much change. And you remember when your kids were small and the magic of Christmas, and you're like, I wish Christmas felt like that. Or you remember when you were a kid, and what Christmas meant was that you got lots of gifts, but now you're a parent, and what Christmas means is you're just buying all this stuff. And maybe you're longing for a time when life felt more simple, or maybe just all the instabilities overwhelming, or maybe you find yourself feeling alone, or misunderstood, or like no one really cares and you're feeling lonely. Or maybe you're celebrating your first Christmas without your earthly father. Or maybe you're feeling some sort of disconnect between you and your earthly father or someone else in your family. But wherever we find ourselves, the answer is that we would turn to the one who is dependable, and that we would turn to the one who is unchanging, who comes close, so that we might be adopted into his forever family and that he is the almighty, unchanging, sovereign God who was the perfect father who will never walk away and never die and never break a promise and never let us down. Let me pray for you. So, Father, I pray for those who are just overwhelmed by the rate of change in the world. The things don't seem like the world is the way it used to be. Or maybe they're overwhelmed by just the rate of change in the seasons of life. Longing maybe for a simpler time or a happier time, and it just feels so unstable and uncertain and what's going to happen next. And Lord, for them, I pray, God, by your Holy Spirit, God, that you would just give them an incredible sense that in a world where they wonder who or what they can rely on or in, that they can rely on you, the one who is strong and stable and unchanging, never going to walk away, never going to pass away. And God, that that would be real, that they can rely on you. When circumstances disappoint, when institutions disappoint, when people disappoint, that they can rely on you, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, for those that feel alone or lonely, God, that they would have an incredible sense of your closeness, even in this moment and in these coming days and months. God, that they would have an incredible sense that you're a God who came close, that that's what Christmas is, not just some distant force, but that you're a personal God who came close because he wants to know us and to make us a part of his forever perfect family. And God, I pray that that would be real. And God, I pray that, people that feel real loneliness, that feel like no one cares, and God, that you'd give them the courage to tell somebody, maybe even before they leave this place today, that they would tell somebody, hey, I'm feeling lonely, I'm feeling alone, and I need some connections. I need to feel connected. God, is a step towards not feeling that way anymore. God, I pray that this, Lord, this imperfect family that's becoming more perfect and one day it'll be perfect, God, I pray that, we, Lord, would rally around and love well those that are feeling disconnected. And God, for those, Lord, whose father's no longer alive or they don't feel close to their father or they've got some wounds from their father, God, or other family wounds, God, I pray that as we consider Christmas, this idea that Jesus came to reveal the everlasting Father to us. The Father who's not going to break a promise. The Father who's not going to walk out. The Father that's not going to abuse or wound. But the Father who heals these wounds. The Father who pursues. God, the Father that that is filled with grace and love and kindness and mercy towards us. God, I pray that the reality of a perfect Father who loves us would be real this Christmas. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.